101.7 FM 710 Keel. Aaron McCarty, Doc Holliday.
Oh, gosh.
What, if you ever cared for me at all, leave this room.
Mike Martindale. In with Cedric Glover, former mayor of Shreveport, current Downtown Development Authority director. How are you fitting in that job?
I'm enjoying it immensely.
I would love that job. Yes.
Great opportunity.
And
we can switch sometimes if you like.
Come on, let's go.
So, Keel listeners, how would you like McCarty and Glover? How's that sound? Y'all loving that?
If this keeps going the way it is, it may...
My message board's going to now blow up.
Well, we'll broaden the demographic.
Yeah, you might.
Cedric, you recently had a meeting looking at developments in downtown. We'll see what I did there.
We'll see what I did.
Tell us about what's going on. Standing room only for this meeting, town hall that you had.
We conducted a public safety town hall for, I think, maybe the first time in the history of downtown Shreveport. We've obviously, since October, since I came on board, have been meeting with various groups and what have you regarding the issues and challenges of downtown. We spent a lot of time meeting with the Shreveport Police Department, the Cattle Parish Sheriff's Office, also with Krista Hawkins and her folks and others involved in dealing with the challenges of the unhoused and trying to assess the issues and challenges of downtown. And in understanding that the perception of downtown in the minds of some is that it's dangerous and not a safe place to be. So we know that that's something that we don't need to try and ignore or paste over, but to confront directly. And so we've spent some time coming up with some new ideas and some new strategies, and we wanted to be able to come out and detail those.
But their perception isn't entirely true.
Oh, the perception's not true at all.
Thank you. Yes.
From a statistical standpoint, downtown is the safest area in this area, in this region. And so, but that doesn't matter in terms of people's perceptions. But
their perception is their reality.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And the only way in which you can shift perception to make sure that the positive reality that you have not only stays, but gets better if possible, and then you use that to go out and help to shift the perceptions. And so that was a part of what we were looking to do on Wednesday, was to share some of the initiatives that we're in the midst of rolling out at this point, also, and to hear, just frankly, open up the door and the floor without filter to hear back the concerns and the criticisms as well as the suggestions.
What are you rolling out? Tell us some of the things you're planning to do.
Well, one of the things that we are doing specifically is we're working closely with the Shreveport Police Department to begin to basically establish the premise that downtown Shreveport is a neighborhood just as any other, and that one of the challenges that helps to strengthen that negative perception is that there are some things that we ultimately end up tolerating that we should not.
Like the
harassment of individuals as they're coming through downtown.
By homeless folks?
By some folks who are unhoused.
Okay.
Here was one of the most shocking things that was shared by Krista Hawkins with Hope Connections, and that is they've done a survey where they went out and identified 37 individuals who were panhandling across downtown and across the region. One of the things that they discovered, that of those 37 individuals, only two of them were actually homeless. The reality is that much of the panhandling activity that's being done here is basically a criminal enterprise.
And it's organized.
It's organized.
Yes.
Wow.
You have folks who are being basically trafficked to do panhandling.
Money-making operation.
Money-making operation. Mm. And so,
giving them money.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I want to get out and roll my window down and go, don't give them money.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Every time I see somebody roll their window down and wave a bill at them, I stop.
Exactly. The ability to be able to come downtown and engage in aggressive panhandling of folks as they walk back and forth throughout downtown is something that we simply should not be able to tolerate.
Isn't there an ordinance prohibiting panhandling?
Absolutely.
Obviously, it's hard for police to enforce.
Absolutely. But those are some of the things that we're trying to figure out better and more effective ways to do. One of the great things is that the Shreveport Police Department and Cattle Sheriff's Office are being very proactive as opposed to reactive in terms of how it is that they're looking to deal with this. As an example, Lieutenant Amy Bowman, Police Officer of the Year, I think she was recently recognized as being, actually serves on the board of Hope Connections. And so you have individuals who are now, as opposed to staying within their various silos and addressing things just simply from their perspective, who are sitting around the table, sharing their common challenges, sharing their common resources, and coming up with common strategies that allow us to be able to collectively address the problem. One of the other things, we have some folks who, unfortunately, choose to make sidewalks, you know, where they want to establish that essentially as their living space, their home. Mm-hmm. Had a gentleman who, when I started back in October, every morning you would see him camped out on Crockett Street, had tarps and bags and other things that were right there on the sidewalk. And obviously the ordinance does not allow that. And so what we did was to have a graduated level of enforcement in that we apprised him of what the ordinance says, that you're not allowed to be able to do this. We had the folks with the homeless community come out and say, here are the resources, here are the things that we can do
right.
to assist you. And these are the options that are available to you. Know that you can avail yourself of these services and what have you. We still didn't see any movement at that point. And then you finally got to a point where you have to draw the line and say, sir, if you're here at this point on tomorrow, then we are going to enforce the ordinance as law allows us to be able to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You be proactive. You offer the help. You try and connect to services and what have you. If that doesn't end up getting you the outcomes that you desire, then you've got to be willing to step up and do that, which is necessary to ultimately address the problem.
Now, in this town hall meeting, you said it was standing room only. You had to bring in chairs. Obviously, people are concerned and want to be involved. And you said you solicited unfiltered comments. What were some of the comments that you received that maybe surprised you a little bit?
Well, nothing that really surprised, but they were all good suggestions. For instance, one of the things that you get from the folks who are already a part of the downtown ecosystem, the people who work along the various businesses and shops and what have you, they would say, just as you all have said, you know, downtown is safe. We don't have a problem. The people who are here are largely harmless.
Mm-hmm.
We know them by name and what have you. One of the things that we suggested to them is that you also have to look at it from the opposite perspective, and that is you work downtown. This is a part of your community, part of your ecosystem. And so, yes, you know these individuals, and you know that they're not harmless. However, put yourself in the shoes of your customer base.
Right.
Folks who are not
sure.
accustomed to downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they see that same stimulus that you know is not dangerous, they react to it differently. And so we need to be mindful of that and understand that it does represent a hindrance and a problem that we need
their
to work
perception
together to address.
Is their reality.
Their perception is their reality. Exactly.
Can you stay with us? I want to talk
Absolutely.
About 50 Cent coming in downtown, the state building, status state, of that.
Yes.
And the CenterPoint building going on the auction block.
Yes.
What are our hopes for that? We'll ask him about these questions next.
Downtown Development Authority Director Cedric Glover in studio. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Key.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
In studio, former Shreveport Mayor, current DDA Director Cedric Glover in studio with us, Mike and McCarty. A lot of things that are happening. You were asking right before we went to break.
Yeah, we have a lot of activity downtown from Curtis 50 Cent Jackson buying up properties. Is that continuing? And how big a deal is that going to be for us?
Well, I think it certainly has the potential to be huge, has the potential to be paradigm shifting. And for folks who want to understand what that potential could look like, I would just ask them to Google Tyler Perry in Atlanta or Tyler Perry Studios in Atlanta. That gives you some context for what could potentially happen. I know that was a very productive legislative session for Mr. Jackson and his efforts. I know that there are a considerable number of people who are subject to non-disclosure agreements regarding what was achieved, and we're expecting some details about that within the coming weeks. But there appears to be a great deal of excitement and enthusiasm, and we're looking forward to hearing the details with the rest of us.
As the DDA director, would you anticipate Mr. Jackson using some of the properties he has purchased for housing, for movie production, for grocery stores? What would, if you had, could sit down with him and say, here's what I need you to do with these buildings. What would your advice be?
I think, well, at this point, we're listening to what his vision is.
Okay.
Because obviously he's the one who's making the investments. He's the one who has the vision. He's the one who came here, you know, just over 2 years ago, asked if we still had those film tax credits, toured the studio, looked at the rest of downtown, and at that point came up with some idea of what it is that he could see Shreveport becoming. And so at this point, we're going to continue to listen as he unfolds and details that and offer him insight and guidance and historical context as he goes forward.
Some other exciting news is the state building that's relocating from Fairfield and Jordan downtown.
Absolutely.
How's that coming along?
Well, great news is that the project is still moving forward. You know, it's obviously happening in two phases. The initial phase was done by Mike Newman and his team of folks, and they did such a great job. They came in not only under budget, but way ahead of schedule. And so it put a gap in between the time for the selection of the construction manager at risk, which is the delivery method for this particular project. And then you
and
also...
that was the Jody Wagner building.
It's the former... Jody Federal Wagner building, which was never owned, interestingly enough, by the federal government. It was a local development that the federal government leased for 20 years. Judge Stagg hated the building and said, we're going to get something that's more appropriate for the federal government. And that building actually was empty for a decade longer than it was ever used. And was going to continue to stay empty unless we came up with this kind of a solution for it. But the project at this point is fully funded. It's my understanding that the construction manager at risk, which has to come up with what's called a GMP, which is guaranteed maximum price, because they don't do changes and what have you, as you would do with a traditional change orders, as you would do with a bid process. And so once they give the state that guaranteed maximum price, then they have to deliver that project for that price or incur the losses themselves. And so
how many workers will be there?
Upwards of 500, possibly more.
You have had your big toe now in this downtown pool for a little while. How big a game changer is that?
Oh, it's part of the reason as to why. Before I became the DDA director, you know, I put everything I had as a legislator in getting this done. Unfortunately, I had to do it against, you know, significant opposition from some of my local colleagues, but understood and saw just how much of a significant game changer this could be. I saw what something on a much larger scale did for downtown Baton Rouge when I first became a legislator back in 1996 and wanted to bring a little bit of that to Shreveport. And now, after 20 years, it's about to happen. I would imagine that certainly by Labor Day, you're going to see a beehive of activity taking place over there. It's going to start probably with the parking garage and then move to the main structure. And because of Christopher Coe and his vision, you're going to end up with an iconic structure that's going to be a great asset to all of downtown, but especially that north side of it.
When do we look for that to be doors open, people working?
The contractor says 2 years after they officially commence. That they're going to be turning the keys over. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed that they meet that goal, but it certainly probably won't be too much longer, and I'm sure they'll be looking to try and come in ahead of schedule.
Now, when you move in 500 workers, Cedric Glover, you also need other things to come with that. You need some more restaurants. You need some more other things. Mm-hmm. And are those things starting to inquire? Are you having inquiries about other things to come with that?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously the folks who are there already are excited about it. The good people at Bon Asian, the good folks at Papillon's, the good folks at Missing Link, Noble Savage, all those folks mm-hmm. are already excited. You've also have reports of some additional folks who are looking to move into town. I think we're going to see some activity pretty soon at the old Rexall Drugs location there, just on the west side of the courthouse. Got great news about some potential things that are happening at the Capri Theater as well. So good news there. So lots of positive things that are happening. And yes, that will ultimately be a paradigm shifter, a game changer, and one that at this point we know is absolutely guaranteed. It's just a matter of time.
Any more residential development in the works?
We're working on those all the time. In fact, that's a part of the ongoing dialogue that we've been having in general, and that's become a little bit more refined since our partnership with the Louisiana Trust for Historic Preservation, which connected us with the Gensler folks and gave us a chance to be able to bring them in and go through a discussion about exactly where we are with some of our older buildings as well as some of our newer generation buildings, and understanding that whether you're in Shreveport, Baton Rouge, Toronto, New York, San Francisco, the one thing that is going to be a characteristic of downtowns is that they're going to become more residential than they ever have been because of changes that were already taking place pre-pandemic, but certainly that have been accelerated post-pandemic.
Okay, let's talk about another building downtown that's going on early next month, the CenterPoint building, again, right there by the courthouse. What do you anticipate the use for that building? Are you hearing any scuttlebutt yet about who wants it?
Well, no. Yeah, it's obviously going to go up for auction. The starting bid is $250,000, which I find interesting.
Why?
Yeah. Just that's a little low.
Yeah.
That's a
little low. Very low.
But, I mean, obviously, you have a motivated seller. And as we recently detailed through the social media platforms of the DDA, we probably envision it going back to its original intent. Most folks don't realize that what became the Texas Eastern Building, ultimately the CenterPoint Building, started off its life in the early 1950s as the Cattle Arms being constructed at the old Shreveport jail site. It was intended to be a residential facility from its original origin.
Wow.
And it was only as a result of two things, a steel shortage, which stopped the construction for a period of time, and the continued expansion and growth of the white-collar oil and gas-related jobs in downtown that had the folks at Texas Eastern come into the Cattle Arms developers and say, halt your residential development on this. We want to buy this from you, and we're going to make it one of our buildings that we're going to house employees in downtown Shreveport. And it became at that point the headquarters of Texas Eastern Company in downtown.
Well, we'll watch that auction. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you all for having me.
You bet.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you much. Y'all do the same.
Cedric Glover in studio. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710.
Now breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I tried to do as little as possible this past weekend, although I did work the hell out of my yard Friday.
You're not supposed to be outside mowing. You're hacking up along.
It looks good. But I did I did kind of take it easy Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
And it was nice. It made it a lot easier on Sunday. I was so excited that the LSU game was at like at 2:30 and not at 6 o'clock.
Right. No kidding.
What a nice Sunday afternoon that was.
That was great. It really was. Y'all wouldn't have won money on me Saturday, just saying. Did okay. Didn't win anything. But you know what was weird? I forgot my phone at home when I went to go play poker. And so the whole time I'm there, I'm like, I want to take pictures of my chip stack and my, you know, my buddies play. No. 97 entrants in the Saturday event, and 12 went on to the Sunday finals, and I finished 19. So I did all right.
Wow.
I did all right. Not
okay.
Bad. You're not bad. Made a bad move at a bad time, so against a guy who had a lot of chips. So not a good idea. He was on to me. He was on to me, so he caught me.
So was this was like an actual, these weren't fake chips. This is money you had up, right?
No. In a tournament, you pay a one-time fee.
Okay.
And then everybody gets $30,000 in chips. And those, you can't cash those in for $30,000. That's just in the tournament. You know, you're playing in the tournament. And you try to build that stack up, you know, and as you're getting lower and lower in people, your chip stacks go higher and higher because you're collecting everybody's chips that you knock out. And, had a pretty good crowd. Had a good turnout from all over the region because this was the Southern Poker Open. So it attracts
folks. So you can't like pocket some of those chips and then go cash them later or whatever?
They're not worth cash. They're not real casino chips. They're tournament chips.
Oh.
Which they're like Monopoly. They're like Monopoly money.
I got you.
If I went to Circle K and paid with Monopoly money, they would go, that doesn't work here. So, yeah, they're not
only
chips.
Would they do that.
Yeah.
They'd put some bracelets on you and take you away.
Yeah, they might take you to a funny farm or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I had a good time. It was 7 hours of grueling play, but had a good time. It was nice to be back at the table. Hadn't been there a while, but enjoyed it. But it was weird being without my phone. I mean, it really was because I was like, I'm missing texts. I'm missing, you know. And then just it started at 11. Just as the game is starting Saturday night, I busted out. So I got to go home and watch the LSU game. So I'm so happy for the Tigers. Big win.
Big win.
Don't like for the Coastal Carolina coaches. That's just a horrible way to end your season.
Good grief. That guy was nuts. He was nutsy Fagan.
Too soon, man. Too soon to toss the coach
in a national
championship game. Good gosh.
Yeah, that guy, Angel something, I don't know. He was terrible, and his strike zone was so inconsistent.
Yeah, not good. He shouldn't have been there.
Ridiculous. No. He certainly shouldn't have been behind the plate.
No, definitely not. And I switched over to watch what's called I don't know if you've ever seen it, the Umpcast. I went to watch it to see, can I hear the coach saying more on the Umpcast? And you really don't. You don't see it because it's all viewed from the umpire's helmet. And I thought, well, maybe I'll see more that'll justify what the ump did. And I really didn't. And I hated that. Imagine if that was LSU's coaches gotten
kicked out. Oh, I know. No, I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
I didn't either.
Even though it was the opposing team, I was like, no.
No.
A, it's either going to rally them to where, or it's going to be an asterisk in the...
It'll tarnish it forever.
Right.
Yep.
No, don't do that, you idiot.
I know. And, of course, the NCAA is out with their, here's why they made the ruling they made, and they were justified. But
coach has got a 2-game suspension now.
Yeah, exactly.
On top of that.
Mm-hmm. A sad way for it to end, but LSU was clearly the better team. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah. No asterisk, in my opinion.
No, it
was,
not at all.
It was a legitimate win.
The Tigers were awesome. And you know what? That's 2 national championships in, 4 years?
Yeah.
Or 3 years? Pretty cool.
Very cool.
Exciting.
Huge news over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Huge news over the weekend.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that coming up after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Back with more McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Well, Friday, was it Friday night? My days are running together. It was Friday night, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Operation Midnight Hammer.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Hmm. The B-2 stealth bombers from Missouri. Some went on a deflection mission.
Yeah, 2 went to Guam.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the 2 that were like under the spotlight.
Yeah, they had all the radar stuff on them and all that. Then the other ones that had, decommissioned all the radar stuff, they went straight to Iran, dropping bombs on 3 prime sites of nuclear weapons operations with those, what do they call them? The bunker buster bombs.
Yes.
That if you hear everyone talk, we're the only country who has those.
Right.
I find that hard to believe, but that's what they say. Iran is not showing, talking much about the damage. The U.S., I thought, in the briefing Saturday later, or Sunday maybe they did a briefing, Sunday morning, we would have seen images and all that. Usually they bring it out. They show you the videos.
There were images. You just couldn't really tell much.
Right. So
I was 300 feet underground.
I know. I'm waiting for, let's see some of the videos. Let's see.
Yeah.
In previous missions, we have had all that ready to go and lined up. I'm surprised we haven't seen all that, so far. But, perhaps that's
obliterated.
Coming. Yeah, that's what they're claiming. It's...
And I appreciate the emphasis that our government is saying, look, we are not at war with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
This is not at war. We gave them ample... And they've had years. They've had years to dismantle this.
Mm-hmm.
Trump gave them 60 days. They thumbed their nose at him.
Yeah.
So we got to take a break.
Yeah.
Coming up, the 3-judge panel ruled the Louisiana Ten Commandments law is unconstitutional. posting Ten Commandments in classrooms. Mm-hmm. Dodie Horton, the author of the bill, will join us right after the local news. 1017 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 KEEL.
Okay, some catching up. First of all, did you go see any movies over the weekend? You played poker all weekend, right?
Not all weekend, but I did play poker most of Saturday. I did, against my judgment, I did what y'all did. I watched Jaws. And then I went and got in the pool Sunday. Yeah, go watch Jaws, and then I go to the pool.
Go get in the water.
Yeah.
I watched it too.
Did you?
I watched
you
it too. I ended up downloading it again.
Mm. Reuben, you too?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, man.
It's aged. I mean, obviously, aged.
Oh, yeah.
But it still holds up.
Yeah.
It still holds up.
It's still scary.
Oh, my gosh.
To watch them pull those barrels underwater, the three barrels,
yes.
And go under the boat. I'm like, dang, that was a big shark. And the one I watched had the intro by Steven Spielberg, which was kind of cool.
He
had the 50th anniversary speech at the beginning of it, and how.
Oh, where'd you find that?
Yeah, really?
I don't know. I Googled Jaws 50th anniversary, and there was a movie that had, and in it he said when he made the movie, he thought it was going to be real hokey. He said, I didn't think anybody was going to like this movie. I thought we had trouble with, what they call the shark?
What Bruce.
Was
Bruce.
We had so much trouble with Bruce. We had so much trouble filming in the open water.
Oh, because they actually filmed on the water.
Yes, and he said we had so much trouble with everything. We went late. We went over budget. I thought this movie would be a piece of crud, and who knew? He goes, 50 years later, who knew? And, it was kind of cool to watch. So, yeah.
Well, still Pixar. Spooky. Pixar had a movie released, Elio Motors, that was...
No.
Oh,
no,
wait, Elio.
Not Elio Motors.
Oh. Let's see, if it were Elio Motors, that would explain why it had the worst Pixar opening ever.
Oh, man. Yeah.
21 million.
Ooh.
Now... Before you throw dirt on it, just quite yet, the previous record holder of worst movie opening for Pixar, Toy Story.
Oh, okay, that one did okay.
So that did okay.
Yeah.
So they're kind of hope. And Elemental in 2023, which I still haven't seen, was 29 million, but it's gone on to make like 500 million globally.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
They're hoping. Elio Motors will pick
it's
up
not
and
Elio Motors.
It's about a three-wheeled car with big eyes.
I did notice, by the way, in Jaws, the guy y'all said was drunk the whole time. I watched for that. He was drunk.
He was drunk the whole time. Yeah.
Robert Shaw is amazing.
He was toasted the whole time. You could tell. His eyes were blurry, bloodshot. I mean, I thought, did they do this for the movie? And then I thought, No.
But it totally fits his character.
Oh, it totally fits his character.
I mean, Quint was just the old sea dog, man.
Right, exactly. And going after the shark. Yeah.
Reuben, how'd your event go over the weekend?
Oh, it went
Opossum?
It went fantastically. We had our friends Riker Hall, Aubrey and the Meat Sweats, of course, Opossum, Where Art Thou, and a band called Sauce all play Saturday.
Okay.
And man, it was a great crowd, great time. And if you hear me snoring over here, just throw something at me.
Nobody went to jail.
No, not that I know of.
Okay, good. Good to hear.
I didn't see anybody get hauled.
Okay,
off.
That's good to know.
Including me.
Do y'all have a chicken wire fence in front of you when you play?
I would love to play a chicken wire stage just once in my life. That would be fantastic.
We'll have to work that out.
Yeah. Ten Commandments law struck down. The bill author Dodie Horton joining us right after the local news. 1017 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty. Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Houghton Representative Dodie Horton joining us. Dodie, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
We're doing very well. Thanks for joining us this morning. Look, this is not a surprise. A three-judge panel striking down your HB 71, saying it is unconstitutional, requiring the Ten Commandments to be displayed in all classrooms. So what's next?
No, we weren't surprised. In fact, A.G. Merle had, I guess a few months ago, prepared me for that ruling because the three-judge panel we drew were definitely liberal-leaning. So what's next is that AG is going to request an en banc hearing, which means that all active judges with the Fifth Circuit would participate in this new decision. So that's what she's going to appeal to and let the process continue because we all know that it's not going to end until it gets to the U.S. Supreme Court eventually.
Now, they will say that the Kentucky law, a similar law in Kentucky, which the Supreme Court overturned, what's the difference? I mean, what's the difference between our law and the law that Kentucky had in place, which the Supreme Court said you can't have?
Or when was this, Aaron?
This was the Stone versus Graham, which the Supreme Court overturned a similar Kentucky law. That's what this is claiming. I'm not sure the date on that.
I'm not sure. I know that the reason why I was able to bring the bill is because the Supreme Court overturned their Lemon Test law, which back in 2022. And when we read the U.S. Supreme Court ruling, we crafted our legislation and the wording of it was derived from that ruling because now they're going to take each case on a separately, not as a whole. And their decision will be made on the historical facts of the case, you know, if so. And we know the Ten Commandments are the basis of which all of our laws derive from. And, you know, we have all the documentation, of course. History scholars testified to that fact. So that's why we feel confident that we'll win in the end. And Attorney General Merle feels that with the whole Fifth Circuit hearing the case, that we'll have a better outcome. But if we win then and the plaintiff, the people challenging it loses, then they'll take it to the Supreme Court.
State Rep. Dodie Horton. Dodie, the angle that that you're taking on this bill is that the Ten Commandments is an historical document. It's not a religious document. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. We know that it was handed down by God, but it is it's a standard. God has a standard on which man should live by, and we should our contact should be ruled by, and that's that standard, and it's the standard and the basis of the founding of our country. You know, it's in the Supreme Court itself, and in many courtrooms across the country, and so we feel that it should be hung in the classroom so our kids can look and say, "Hey, there is a God, and there is a standard that He set forth to man." But not only is it set down by God, and many religions have this, but it is historical and a critical to the founding of this country. So it's also historical.
Dodie Horton from Houghton, the state rep. The process of this, the speed is not typically going to be, you know, moving like a freight train here. So getting a full circuit, full judges of the Fifth Circuit to hear the case, how long will that take? And then once that ruling comes, how long is it going to take to get this issue before the Supreme Court?
I really don't know. You know, I'm always asking for the timing, you know, because we do like things to move quickly. But I don't know about the timing. I haven't consulted with the AG about that yet. So I know that she asked for an expedited hearing, but it just depends on the court.
But for now, the posting of the Ten Commandments in classrooms in Louisiana is on hold, correct?
To my knowledge, yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yes,
so ma'am. We're not mandating it when school goes back this session that they put the Ten Commandments up. We're going to wait until the court settles it.
Well, the law is a mandate, and when the schools receive the posters, they're supposed to put it up. With this ruling, though, I would think that would be on hold. Like you, Aaron, I would think that people just can hold on to the school systems or hold on to their posters until this is resolved in the courts.
And we need to make it clear, too, that these posters were paid for by private dollars, not public money, right?
Oh, yes. Everyone donated. Yes, ma'am.
And what is your position on, well, if this is an historical document, then, you know, Muslims posting a document in the classroom or Buddhists posting, you know, their beliefs in the classroom as well?
Well, I don't see that the Muslims or the Buddhist documents were essential to the founding of our country. The Ten Commandments were. And so if someone brought up legislation, they would have to prove that those documents were as historical as the Ten Commandments. And I don't believe you're going to find that in the history of our country, in the founding of our country.
Dodie, the age-old argument here is that people will say we started having big problems in our country when we took religion out of our schools. And that we can almost point to that. You agree with that, right?
I do too. I believe that that's why the Supreme Court overturned that 1981 ruling, because it was the wrong ruling. And we got calls from citizens and legislators all the way as far up as Delaware, you know, and it's like parents in different states are hungry for something positive to be in the classrooms. I believe the humanists have ruled what goes on inside that classroom or what could be posted in there for so long in our country that it's just we're at a place where we want to go back to the basics. And you can't get more basic than the Ten Commandments.
Prayer in schools, would you support that?
I absolutely would.
So you would hope the Supreme Court would overturn previous rulings and allow prayer back in our classrooms?
Well, the kids can pray now. I mean, the kids can lead prayer now. And so we still have that somewhat, you know, but we just can't have a teacher-led prayer. That's the way I understand it. So the kids can
if it's student-led prayer, they can. Mm-hmm. It's allowed.
Yes. So we do still have that in that form.
Well, we will keep a close eye on this. Big ruling on the Ten Commandments, and I know you're keeping a close eye on it, and we will be in touch.
Ma'am. Well, thank you so much. It's always an honor to be with you guys, and I hope you have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dodie. Thank you. State Rep Dodie Horton, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I saw a report that made me go, oh, really? Louisiana ranked 10th worst for lung health.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're feeling that, huh?
Like, okay. Although I don't think mine has really something to do with toxic chemical releases and air pollution.
We hope not. Yeah.
I think that study's focused more on South Louisiana, Baton Rouge and Cancer Alley.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting better. It's getting better.
You're still on meds?
Oh gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Mm. Yes. If the doctor prescribed, you know, boiled frog's eyes, I'd be doing it. Yeah, absolutely.
I get that.
So, but yeah, it is getting better. So.
Okay, good.
Thank goodness. But it's the line in Remember the Titans, zero fun, sir.
Yeah.
no fun.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was able to kind of get some downtime over the weekend. And
you went and mowed your yard.
Well, I did Friday. I went ahead and knocked it out Friday so I could have the weekend. And you know.
There are people that will come do that, you know.
Yeah, but they want
$50.
They want something in return.
But you could stay indoors in the air conditioning.
I spent a lot of money on a really really nice zero-turn mower now.
You could let them use it.
No, hell no.
Who's allowed on your mower?
You're looking at him.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's it.
Neighbor needs to borrow it.
Nope.
Hey, I need to borrow it.
No.
Not happening.
Sorry. No. No. I spent too much money on that thing.
Your brother-in-law wants to use it?
Nope.
Wow.
No.
Not allowing it. You'll
sorry.
Come mow for him, but you're not borrowing it.
100 years ago, I had a Honda 350, 354 motorcycle, and I worked at Brookshire's, which was on Nelson Street before they moved up further north of 220.
Right.
And one of the kids that I worked with at the time, I say kid, we were the same age. One of the guys that I worked with was like, can I ride your bike? I was like, have you ever ridden? Oh, yeah, I know how to ride a bike. Yeah. He spilled it in the middle of the parking lot. Slid it across the parking
scratched
lot.
Scratched it all up.
And I said, never again.
Yeah.
Never again.
What if your wife wants to mow one day?
She can go grab that Honda push mower that I've got. That's very nice. No, seriously, if you don't know how to use a zero turn, you'll jack something up.
Well, you had to learn. Somebody has to learn.
Well, you're not going to learn on my brand new one. On my yard.
There are some things. I got a text from a dear friend over the weekend, and it said, did I loan you my portable wheelchair? Perhaps. Don't spit stuff out. And I said, no, you did not. And poor thing, she can't find it. She doesn't know who she loaned it. I know. She doesn't know who, she didn't remember who she loaned it to. And so she literally put a post on Facebook. I know this seems dumb, but I've loaned my portable wheelchair out to somebody and I need it.
Why do I find that so funny?
And she might have thought she loaned it to me when I had my knee surgery or something. I don't know. And I'm like, no, I used a walker. I didn't need a wheelchair. I'm good. And so I think there are some things you just shouldn't loan.
Well, exactly.
Keep notes of who you loaned it to and, you know, did they get it back? Because I know, and I hate this because there's one book I loaned out, and I cannot find this book. You loan books, you're not getting them back.
Right.
They're not coming back, so just know it's not happening.
Back in the 70s, I had every George Carlin album.
Oh.
Okay, vinyl. And lent them to a buddy.
Oh, they're gone.
I've never seen them since. Reuben, would you lend, like, your guitar to somebody?
No.
Never.
Unless I was there. You know, if they needed it for a show, like, oh, my guitar's not working. Can I use yours? Yeah, that's fine. But not take it away where I can't.
It's not going away from you. Yeah. There's some things you just shouldn't loan. Any motorized vehicles, probably a no. I don't let other people drive my car, except a valet. That's the only. But I had a bad valet experience here locally. I'm not going to name it, but took care of it, but they bumped a curb with it. Ooh. You know?
Have you never seen Ferris Bueller?
Yeah, you got a point. We have to, when we come back, not the short segment, but the long one in about 10 minutes, there was massive violence in a local park.
Yeah.
And, we got to say, the city council members talked about it just a few weeks ago. Said we got to get control of what's going on in these parks. And the police said we're working on it. We're on it. Well, yesterday, things blew up. Not good.
We'll talk about that. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Hot today, 95, but it's summer. It's summer in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And 95 actually doesn't sound so bad.
This humidity,
and it's not even July.
Oh, this humidity. The heat index is going to be close to 110, 105 to 110.
Yeah.
Just miserable outside. So it's miserable.
Lots of flirts.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of breaks if you work outside.
Yes.
Try to stay out of the sun as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, my daughter sent me for Father's Day. Apparently, this was one of the hottest things. It's a big, big, like, hat. It's kind of camo, okay? Mm-hmm. Big, wide-brimmed hat to work outside in. It's got two solar-powered fans built into the brim.
You got it? Does it work?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
It's the goofiest-looking thing you've ever seen.
No wonder she got it after she moved far, far away. Yeah,
she doesn't have to be seen with me wearing this goofy hat
you know,
on my new Toro Zero Turn.
There's a certain age where all shame goes out the window.
Absolutely.
Especially if it's something that keeps you cool in the summer. Old men and women will wear anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Freaking cool.
Those big, huge gardening hats that women wear.
Yes. Like, yes.
Well, this is one of them, and it has two fans.
Yeah.
In the brim. So
I love it. Dead
gum straight. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Really unfortunate events took place over the weekend at Ford Park.
Mm-hmm.
I have such great memories of Ford Park as a child.
Yeah.
And it's just really sad to see it today.
You bet.
We'll talk about that after the break. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, police were dispatched to an unconscious 19-year-old who had been shot multiple times. KSLA reporting he was taken to a hospital with life-threatening injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And latest report, he's still fighting for his life.
Yes.
70 shell casings from three different guns found at the scene.
Mm. Victim was rushed to Ochsner Health Hospital. Life-threatening condition happened just after, right at 9 o'clock last night. So I'm curious because the park closes at 9, I believe. And some reports say it may have happened in one of the parking lots, that there were tons of shots fired. Now, we had a report on Keel 2 weeks ago, I may be wrong, where council members, you know, were talking to the chief and to his deputy chief about curbing the, you know, violence and all the activity in the parks. Not necessarily the violence they were talking about, but they were talking about the people doing burnouts in the parks, playing loud music, doing things that illegal in the parks. And the chief's assistant chief said, we have a plan in place to address this. And they go from park to park, you know, to make sure that crowds are not getting unruly, et cetera. But sometimes things escalate when you least expect it. It could have been right when police just left. It could have been, you know, they hadn't gotten to this park yet. But it's just tragic because this, I believe, a 19-year-old man who's now, you know, fighting for his life today. And we don't know if there were others wounded. We don't know any suspect information yet. But it's a real sad case because 99% of the people that go to these parks and go to these events just want to have a good time.
Right.
Just come out and enjoy the time outdoors. Maybe they want to show off their cars.
Grill some meat and have some time. Sure.
Bring the family out and all. And, you know, if you look at some of the comments that this is generating, people are now scared to go back to the park. It's like, oh, Ford Park will be dead now. Nobody will go. That's not what we want.
No, of course not.
We want people to be able to enjoy our parks. But in the same breath, will you be at Ford Park this Sunday? Will I be?
No, I won't.
Now, would I've ever in recent time? No. But will the people that like to go? No.
The last time I was at Ford Park that's where we shot my scenes for the Gerard Butler movie, the soccer movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I played a really bad soccer coach. and that's where we filmed the scenes.
Ah, okay.
And that was obviously years ago. Mm. So that's the last time I've been in that area, period.
It's a beautiful park. And I was just at Ford Park about a month ago. I wasn't really in the park. I was driving by looking for something else. And so I snapped a few pictures. And, yeah, the train is still there.
Mm-hmm.
The park is still gorgeous. I mean, it's a gorgeous park. It's right there on the south side of the lake. You know, there's a road around where people can drive through. And,
oh, yeah.
And that's what they do on Sunday afternoons. They come out. If they're showing off their cars, they'll drive through. They have done some things like burnouts and such. You'll see that every now and then. And they fill the park. The park's full of people.
Now, y'all were just saying off mic, somebody got locked in like a while back. Is there no way to drive out of it? I mean, other than the gate?
Yeah, that one gate is the only entrance, I believe.
Okay.
I think there may be like a back gate for crews. But they have to physically unlock the gate. It's not for regular traffic. They never unlock it normally. They may unlock it if they're bringing supplies in. But
there's access on both sides of Lakeshore, right? The side with the train, the main one, and then on the other side, isn't there a portion that goes around the other way from the other side?
There's a smaller portion on the other side that fronts the lake. It is, you know, it's one of those things that sometimes somebody may be out in the park. And surely they go drive through to see if they see any cars, and they would not lock the gate if they see a car. But it may be they saw a car and it just got stalled out and they didn't realize there was somebody in the car or whatever. And so they get locked in the park. That happens every now and then. But
I've seen them unlock like Betty Virginia Park at 4:30 in the morning. They unlock that early, like when I'm going into work, you know, when I go up Lyon Avenue, and sometimes I see the car there and there's a lady opening that gate.
Because people like to go in and walk.
I guess they go in.
You know, before work, people go in and walk the park. I'm not sure what time Ford Park opens in the morning, but I know that I believe 9 p.m. is the closing time at night. And a lot of these folks that are out on Sundays, they stay out late. You know, they're enjoying the evening and the afternoon out in the park, especially after sunset. Because it cools off and, you know, you can enjoy your time. But again, once violence happens, people give second thought to, is this really where we want to go on our Sunday afternoon? Could we have been, I mean, if 70 shots are fired, how many lives were in danger? Seriously, think about that. 70 shots is a lot.
Out of at least three different weapons.
Yeah. That indicates three people were shooting at least. So it really is frightening. And hopefully they'll reach some solution, find some answers, and find some suspects here soon, we hope.
We've reached out to Shreveport police officials, haven't heard back yet. Hopefully we'll talk with somebody and find out what their plans are, what they're hoping to do to address this.
You bet.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Got a question on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Aaron, are there cameras in Ford Park?
Oh, good question.
If not, there should be.
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. We probably need to see if we can get some cameras in the park if we don't have them already. I'm sure they probably already have some there. And they'll be working on, you know, trying to identify who did what.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a sad state of affairs when this is a 19-year-old man that is now fighting for his life. Future looks pretty grim. I mean, I'll be honest. It's just tough, really tough.
Changing gears just a little bit. You've got a story on KeelNews.com that this is something that I've suspected about panhandling in Shreveport.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget who we asked. We had somebody in studio and we got to talking about panhandling. I said, but there's a city ordinance prohibiting it. It's illegal.
Cedric Glover on Friday.
It was Cedric.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, but how are you going to, you know?
Right.
We have police officers, we're short officers now. And they're focusing on shootings in Ford Park.
Sure.
And they can't focus on these panhandlers at these intersections that are holding these cardboard signs.
And seriously, think about it. If a police car starts pulling around, the panhandler's going to walk away. you know, and he's going to just act like he's walking. It's really hard to catch him in the act. It really is.
And, I don't know about that.
But the startling data that Cedric said, and you can see it in the piece at keelnews.com, they did a Hope Connections did a survey of 37 panhandlers.
Yes. Identified 37. Mm-hmm.
And only two of them were actually homeless. The rest, he said, were involved in an organized, he called it criminal activity,
mm-hmm.
organized to get your money. So 35.
And thousands of dollars,
oh,
by the way.
Yes, and not homeless at all. Brought in here just for that. And they go from
they're
community
trafficked
to community.
In.
Yes, trafficked in. He used the word trafficked.
Yes.
And
so you're contributing to human trafficking when you give these people money.
Thank you. Stop giving them
thank
money.
You. There are other ways to help the homeless and mm-hmm. those who actually need help.
You bet.
There are other ways to do it. Don't hand out bills out your car window.
You're giving that to a criminal enterprise. In the most part, it's a criminal enterprise. And these are the folks working the Target parking lot, the Lowe's parking
oh,
lot,
yeah.
downtown, all of it. Criminal enterprises, except for a very small percentage. And let's help that small percentage by making donations to Hope Connections.
Right.
Providence House.
The Hub
the
Ministries.
The Rescue Mission. Other missions.
Yes.
Help those folks that way, because then they can provide the real help and they do the outreach.
Because when they come up to you and go, hey, I'm just trying to get some gas money. I'm trying to get to Ellick.
Nope.
Yeah. No. Shut up.
Nope.
Obviously,
sorry.
People fall for it. Obviously, people believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If you need help, there are avenues to get help.
Yeah. Do not give them your cash.
No.
Oh, bad idea.
Micah McCarty coming up. By the way, did you realize Louisiana is under a federal quarantine? You won't believe this.
I saw that.
Very interesting. Mm. We'll talk about that after the news. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Micah McCarty. Is it Friday? Oh, wait, my mic's on. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Micah McCarty. I came across this, Aaron, late last week. This kind of, I thought this was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We are under a federal quarantine in the state of Louisiana. Texas is included, by the way.
Yeah.
Texas as well. It's a fire ant.
Ooh,
quarantine.
Yeah. They're bad.
A fire ant quarantine.
I saw that.
So if
I'm
you
like,
find any fire ants, you have to lock them up. You have to put them in a room and quarantine them.
And feed them and water them
yes,
and all that.
Yeah.
No, I was surprised because you can't move like heavy equipment.
Right. What the quarantine means is, say, farmers that are selling hay. You can't move that hay outside the quarantine area without confirming that it is fire ant free. Or if you're selling tractor that have been worked in the field, you can't sell that tractor unless it is free of fire ants.
So who comes out and says, okay,
and
you're
I
free of
know.
Fire? Is there like a fire ant guru?
Yeah. There's the federal fire ant police.
Yeah, who's the fire ant police?
But that's right now that's what we're under. A federal fire ant quarantine. Now here's something that really when I heard this, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Fire ants aren't native to our area.
They're not. How'd they
Can
get
you
here?
Believe that?
They got here on a tractor from Nebraska, didn't they?
Somebody would say, yeah. No, it goes back to the 30s, the port of Mobile. They actually came in some goods from South America.
Oh, wow.
To the port of Mobile. And then, of course, once they
started,
they moved across the South. So we could have not had fire ants.
Mm-hmm. Had it not been for imports from
right.
South America.
South American imports
mm-hmm. Wow.
in the 30s through the Port of Mobile. So
is there not a worse feeling in the world than you're outside, maybe you're in sandals, and then look down
oh,
and your legs engulfed?
Yes. I remember as a kid, I looked down one time. We were playing, and I remember exactly, Aaron, I remember where I was standing. It was next to the street. And I looked down, and I was barefoot, which I don't ever go barefoot now. This is maybe one of the reasons why.
Yeah.
It looked like I had a sock on one of my feet.
Oh, wow.
Now, how I hadn't felt it yet, I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why I looked down.
Yeah.
I remember that to this day.
I'm convinced, and you can tell me I'm crazy. I'm convinced the fire ants crawl up your leg and on your feet, and then the moment that you notice them, the fire ants go, one. Yeah. Three. Fight!
Now, right. Yes.
So the moment you see them, they all start chomping on you. And as a woman with challenged toes, shall I say, they always bite between my webbed toes. They know this is
how
the
spot.
How
do you bite between webbed toes?
They crawl down in that little webbing and they get down in there and they bite right there. And then when you have a bite there, oh, man.
When we, but not only do they sting and hurt, but they cause a lot of damage.
They do.
And when we built our house in North Bossier, we were outside the city limits at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It may still be. So we had to dig a well. So at the little well house, we kept losing water.
Oh no!
You know, I was like, well, what the hell? And I have to go. Fire ants get up in that electrical box, which was close to the ground, the circuit.
Yeah.
They are attracted to electricity for some reason.
Wow.
And then they congregate. I mean, it's like a ball. It's like a tennis ball of fire ants.
Mm-hmm.
So now the circuit can't close. It can't make it. It can't close down, and they eat, and they can cause a lot of damage, including fires. Shorting out electrical circuits.
Wow.
So you have to, it's a pain in the butt.
Well, you have to call the fire ant popo nowadays if you want to sell anything that was out in a field. That's just, man. But
some of the
crazy
items include soil, obviously.
Okay.
You can't move soil. Plants with soil attached or root balls, construction equipment, earth moving equipment, hay and straw, and then mulch and sod. Some of the items included in the fire ant quarantine.
That's unreal.
It's pretty incredible.
Crazy. Wow.
So if you're planning on traveling outside the federal fire ant quarantine zone, which you can see it on KeelNews.com.
Is it like till further notice? Goes on and on, who knows?
I'm assuming this is a pretty regular deal.
Okay.
It's a pretty regular deal because they're so bad.
Yeah.
Of course, every summer.
Mm. And I don't know what the solution is. I've known people that burn them out. You know, people use the ant poison on them.
Oh, I've got all kinds of home remedy stuff. Yeah.
People have tried all kind of things. I don't know what the tried and true is. I don't know.
There's some good products available.
Message us what you use to get rid of fire ants.
Yeah, let us know what you use.
Who knows?
I'd be curious to know on the Shreveport Security Systems message board.
Mm-hmm.
How do you combat fire ants in your yard?
Dastardly little creatures.
And then let's talk about skeeters.
Boy, no kidding.
It's summer in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCart.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. You were talking about tax revenues. When Cedric was in, I think we were talking about we still have an out-migration problem in Shreveport-Bossier, but in Louisiana as well.
Yes. Yeah, we've lost about 11,000 residents over the past 3 to 4 years, which is 5.8%. It's a pretty big amount. And so I was looking, has that out-migration impacted our sales tax collections? I thought, you know, if you've lost 11,000 people, that's 11,000 people not spending money. And so I dug deep into the data, because, you know, I love to do that. And it's really not off that bad. It's pretty, you know, for the most part, stable, and you would expect it to be really far down. And the thing is that people don't realize more than 60% of the city budget is sales taxes. So they live and die by that. I mean, they have to really watch that closely. We pay 9.6% in sales tax, but 5% of that is for the state, and 4.6 goes to local government. And that's not all city government. That goes to the sheriff, to the school board, to the commission. They all divvy it up. City of Shreveport in the first quarter of 2025 collected $40 million. It's a 0.3% increase over the first quarter of last year. So it's a slight uptick, which I think in the grand scheme of things is good news. An increase is an increase. And you look over the past 3 years, and we are showing a little bit of growth. There is a little bit of growth in our sales tax revenues. Now we're, you know, January of 23, we had $15.9 million in sales tax revenues. We haven't gotten really close to that this year yet. Our January this year was 15.3, so that's the closest. We're still about 600,000 down. But they got to really watch this when they start budgeting.
So when you talk about the growth and you look at a three-year average, does inflation count on some of that with higher prices?
Well, you know, as the prices go higher,
do they break it down with sales figures?
They don't show that with regard to taking inflation into account. But if you and I are spending more money on goods, that means we're paying higher sales taxes. You know, because if your toilet paper costs $2 and it used to be $1, well, you're paying tax on $2 now.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
right.
And so you're paying more sales taxes. So that may play a part in why the taxes are, you know, holding steady as inflation drops and our toilet. But the thing is, we all have so many dollars to spend. So if we're going to spend $2 on toilet paper, we might be spending less on lotion, you know, or less on something else. Because we typically have so much to spend, and we're now just having to prioritize what we spend our money on, as opposed to...
Well, that makes sense.
We'll just keep buying everything we've been buying. Because I know in the past 2 years, you know, I've told y'all pointedly, I don't buy much red meat at all anymore. Very seldom do I. And if I do, it's a steak and it's a splurge. I'll buy some ground beef, but if like to go out and just load up on and fill my fridge with red meat, it's not happening anymore.
Right.
The price has just got too crazy, and so I started trimming it from my diet. I know Ruben has said the same thing. I mean, you're trimming your grocery bill based on what you can now afford and use to feed your family. That's what a lot of people have done, and I make a comfortable living. I can only imagine the folks that don't, what they've had to trim from their budgets. But it is, in the grand scheme of things, to still have sales tax revenues pretty stable is a good thing when you look back at your population declines. Now, as the inflation falls, will that be changing? You know, I don't know. But I know I don't like being dependent, so dependent on sales taxes.
Well, let me go back and correct something that I just said. Do I remember that Louisiana reversed the out-migration just recently? That we've actually had more people coming in than leaving?
No.
Just recently? Are you sure?
No, I'm pretty sure.
Are you sure?
I was looking at
that. Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure. Where's my snot rag to throw?
Don't you throw that at me. I could have sworn I heard that for the first time in years that we've reversed that and had more people come in than left. Now, that's the state, not Shreveport. That's the state.
I hadn't seen that. If we have, you need to put that on our website because that's a big story.
I think it is. I think it has been.
We'll have to look.
I'm going
to
look that up. Somebody correct me on that.
Look it up because you're wrong, but look it up anyway. I'm joking. You know, I'm playing. But it is something if we have reversed it, that'd be a good thing. But I mean, we still, as a city, and when we say that Shreveport's lost 11,000, they didn't move to Bossier or Stonewall.
Right.
Bossier showed a slight gain.
Right.
The Stonewall, Keithfield, DeSoto area, a slight gain. Nothing like the 11,000 that Shreveport has lost. So it shows that they're moving out of state.
They're going to Texas.
They're moving away.
Right.
And for either better climates, better tax structure, better jobs, whatever it is. And the bad part about that is they typically are not coming back.
Whoa.
You know, once they get somewhere else, they end up liking it and they stay. You have two kids now living in, one in Texas, one in Florida. Mm-hmm. Chances of them coming back?
No, not at all.
Mine the same.
Yeah.
Mine the same. And I find that very sad and troubling. I really do. You would think people would say, I love my hometown. I can't wait to get back. I'm going off to college, but I'm coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to, you know,
a lot of that depends on what they're going to do.
Absolutely. If the job they're in doesn't, it isn't here, they're not coming back here. That's for sure. No doubt about it.
And the opportunities, I mean, as many positive things that are happening here,
mm-hmm. Right.
The opportunities aren't like, say, even Dallas, just 3 hours away.
Yeah.
When you're looking at the millions of people that are in Dallas as opposed to 250,000 in Shreveport.
Right, exactly. I got a text. I'll make it clear. The Caddo Commission only gets 1% of the sales tax on purchases that are made outside the city. They don't share any of the sales tax from inside the city limits. So the school board and the sheriff do get some of that, I believe.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You were right. Whatever.
Wait a minute. Hold on. January. No, this is June 23rd.
You were right. Whatever.
I knew I remembered hearing that. We did have a slight bump in population in 2024 for the state of Louisiana.
Due to immigration, by the way.
More coming into the state mm-hmm. than going out.
They're illegal, but they're here. I'm joking. I don't know.
Are they paying taxes?
I don't know.
Did it cause a bump in tax revenue?
Absolutely. Immigrants pay sales taxes. Everything they buy, they pay tax on. If they own property, they pay property taxes, too. So, yeah, you're right. Edit that out, Ruben, from the network feed, please.
A woman saying a man is right. Wow.
It'll never happen again.
I'm going to. Ruben, send me this segment, if you would, please. Yeah, record that. Thank you. Louisiana Rep. Dodie Horton joined us earlier this morning talking about the three-judge panel striking down HB 71, requiring the Ten Commandments to be posted in every classroom. Hear her reaction right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Houghton Representative Dodie Horton joining us. Dodie, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
We're doing very well. Thanks for joining us this morning. Look, this is not a surprise. A three-judge panel striking down your HB 71, saying it is unconstitutional, requiring the Ten Commandments to be displayed in all classrooms. So what's next?
No, we weren't surprised. In fact, A.G. Merle had, I guess a few months ago, prepared me for that ruling because the three-judge panel we drew were definitely liberal-leaning. So what's next is that A.G.'s going to request an en banc hearing, which means that all active judges with the Fifth Circuit would participate in this new decision. So that's what she's going to appeal to and let the process continue, because we all know that it's not going to end until it gets to the U.S. Supreme Court eventually.
Now, they will say that the Kentucky law, a similar law in Kentucky, which mm-hmm. the Supreme Court overturned, what's the difference between our law and the law that Kentucky had in place, which the Supreme Court said you can't have?
Or when was this, Aaron?
This was the Stone versus Graham. Which the Supreme Court overturned a similar Kentucky law. That's what this is claiming. I'm not sure the date on that.
I'm not sure. I know that the reason why I was able to bring the bill is because the Supreme Court overturned their lemon test law, which back in 2022. And when we read the U.S. Supreme Court ruling, we crafted our legislation and the wording of it was derived from that ruling, because now they're going to take each case on a separately, not as a whole. And their decision will be made on the historical facts of the case. You know, if so, and we know the Ten Commandments are the basis of which all of our laws derive from. And, you know, we have all the documentation, of course. History scholars testified to that fact. So that's why we feel confident that we'll win in the end. And Attorney General Murrell feels that with the whole Fifth Circuit hearing the case, that we'll have a better outcome. But if we win then and the plaintiff, people challenging it, loses, then they'll take it to the Supreme Court.
State Rep. Doty Horton. Doty, the angle that that you're taking on this bill is that the Ten Commandments is an historical document. It's not a religious document. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. We know that it was handed down by God, but it is a standard. God has a standard on which man should live by, and we should our contact should be ruled by, and that's that standard. And it was the standard and the basis of the founding of our country. You know, it's in the Supreme Court itself, and in many courtrooms across the country. And so we feel that it should be hung in the classroom, so our kids can look and say, "Hey, there is a God, and there is a standard that He set forth to man." But not only is it set down by God, and many religions have this, but it is historical and a critical to the founding of this country. So it's also historical.
Doty Horton from Houghton, the state rep. The process of this, the speed is not typically going to be, you know, moving like a freight train here. So getting a full circuit, full judges of the Fifth Circuit to hear the case, how long will that take? And then once that ruling comes, how long is it going to take to get this issue before the Supreme Court?
I really don't know. You know, I'm always asking for the time, because we do like things to move quickly. But I don't know about the timing. I haven't consulted with the AG about that yet. So I know that she asked for an expedited hearing, but it just depends on the court.
But for now, the posting of the Ten Commandments in classrooms in Louisiana is on hold, correct?
To my knowledge, yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yes,
so ma'am. We're not mandating it when school goes back this session that they put the Ten Commandments up. We're going to wait until the court settles it.
Well, the law is a mandate, and when the schools receive the posters, they're supposed to put it up. With this ruling, though, I would think that would be on hold. Like you, Aaron, I would think that people just can hold on to the school systems or hold on to their posters until this is resolved in the courts.
And we need to make it clear, too, that these posters were paid for by private dollars, not
yes.
public money, right?
Oh, yes. Everyone donated. Yes, ma'am.
And what is your position on, well, if this is an historical document, then Muslims posting a document in the classroom, or Buddhists posting, their beliefs in the classroom as well.
Well, I don't see that the Muslims or the Buddhist documents were essential to the founding of our country. The Ten Commandments were. And so if someone brought up legislation, they would have to prove that those documents were as historical as the Ten Commandments, and I don't believe you're going to find that in the history of our country and the founding of our country.
Doty, the age-old argument here is that people will say we started having big problems in our country when we took religion out of our schools, mm-hmm. and that we can almost point to that. You agree with that, right?
I do. I do, too. I believe then that's why the Supreme Court overturned the 1981 ruling, because it was the wrong ruling. And we got calls from citizens and legislators all the way far up as Delaware, you know, and it's like parents in different states are hungry for something positive to be in the classrooms. I believe the humanists have ruled what goes on inside that classroom or what could be posted in there for so long in our country that it's just we're at a place back to the basics. And you can't get more basic than the Ten Commandments.
Prayer in schools, would you support that?
I absolutely would.
So you would hope the Supreme Court would overturn previous rulings and allow prayer back in our classrooms?
Well, the kids can pray now. I mean, the kids can lead prayer now. And so we still have that somewhat, you know, but we just can't have a teacher-led prayer. That's the way I understand it. So the kids can
if it's student-led prayer, they can. Mm-hmm. It's allowed.
Yes, yes. So we do still have that in that form.
Well, we will keep a close eye on this. A big ruling on the Ten Commandments, and I know you're keeping a close eye on it, and we will be in touch.
Ma'am. Well, thank you so much. It's always an honor to be with you guys, and I hope you have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doty. State Rep. Doty Horton, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
I was looking over the post on the Holodome.
Mm-hmm.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
That is heartbreaking.
I know.
You guys, didn't y'all stay there 1 year during like a freeze or something?
No, we stay right here close.
Oh, okay.
We party at the Wyndham. Yeah. That's what we call it. Party at the Wyndham. Yeah, like we were really partying.
Right.
Yeah, we're party pals. Yeah. No, we didn't do much of anything. But the Holodome was such a spectacular hotel when it opened.
Oh, the big atrium format with the
putt-putt
indoor
in there.
Outdoor pool.
Yeah.
And it was the bomb diggity for a while.
It really was. And it's in such horrible condition right now. It's falling apart. I mean, Rube, you went out there, and it's just there's junk everywhere.
Yeah, I think the vandals might have missed a few windows, but other than that, it's pretty bashed up. It's really bad. I guess squatters kind of started getting in there some years ago, and then they boarded it back up, and then they broke back in, and it's just every time they try to do something, somebody gets in there, and it's in such a perfect location.
Yes.
Where it's low traffic, you can't see. It's woods on either side, so you can't see. So
now, when you say perfect location, you mean for
the vandals, and the
right? Squatters,
yeah.
Yeah. Because it's kind of hard to get in and out of
as far as
an actual hotel.
And you can't see it until you're right up on it.
Right, like, and you can't see it anymore from the freeway.
Right,
no,
used to be able to see it from the freeway. You can't anymore.
You're not going to just drive right to it off the interstate.
We have a new owner.
Yes.
There was an auction of the property a few weeks ago, and a company called Dat Nguyen LLC purchased it for $97,000.
Wow.
They have a local office, and they also have an office in Herndon, Virginia, but they have other projects they've worked on here locally. I don't think anything quite to this magnitude, but I'm told that their plan is a new hotel. That they're going to go in, kind of a two-phase deal. They're going to clear out, you know, all the junk and make sure all the furniture and appliances and everything is cleared out, tear it and get all the squatter crap out of there. And then...
Literally.
Yeah,
probably literally. Yeah.
Probably literally. You're right. And then tear it back down to almost studs and come back in with a new hotel right there on that property, which, I mean... Shreveport, our hotel's often on the weekends, we're full.
Right.
So we can use a nice
events
hotel.
When
you bet.
Independence Bowl, things like that. We get maximum occupancy in this market.
We understand they're working, you know, with the city now, have just started working with the city. But we also know that the city had gotten a judgment against the previous owners of the Holodome, mm-hmm. which was then a Ramada, and had, you know, cited them for property standards violations. And we were told that that judgment will be not enforced at this point under the new owner, but that the clock's now ticking on new property standards violations. Mm-hmm. So they're going to go in and start citing the current owner for the property standards violations, which will hopefully speed up the process of tearing things down, getting it back into commerce. So that's a good thing.
But if a new owner has come in and purchased a degraded property like that with the intent of refurbishing and redoing,
please don't harass
him. Don't start fining them for property standards when they just bought the property.
Give them a minute.
It's going to take them a while to get that cleaned up.
It is
rough out there.
I hope the city has a little bit of compassion on that front.
And, you would hope that,
give them a second. Give them a little breathing room to get, you know, some of their ducks in a row and get the construction started. And if they start the construction in good faith, back off a minute. Let them see what they're going to do. But if it lingers, I get it. If it still lingers and you're not moving, then we need to do something. So we shall see what happens.
Interesting.
Good news.
I love hearing positive economic development news like that.
Absolutely.
My 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.